Well, good morning. It's fantastic to have you all here this morning. I have to say, though, I'm a little bit nervous. This is the first live sermon that I've done since, June now. So it's a bit scary out there. Gemma did so well today. She's gone now, but she did great, right, looking at all you scary people out there. It's pretty amazing. And how good was that opener this morning? The light has come. Zoe and Jane, beautiful, and the rest of the team, thank you. Thank you for carrying out my crazy ideas. But no, it was just so beautiful, and it's kind of overwhelming, isn't it? Just hearing those Christmas songs, those beautiful words. And today we're going to begin our new series. It's called Away in a Manger. And the focus of this series over Advent is that each week is centered around a Christmas carol. And you would have got a hint of that from the song that was sung first off this morning and the video, the words, O come, Emmanuel. That's what we're focusing on today. Now, I have to say, I'm with Jane. I love Christmas carols. Who else loves Christmas carols? Yeah, okay, good. A good 70%. Now, Christmas carols bring out something within lots of us, don't they? They sort of stir something up inside of us. I don't know about you, but for me, it brings back certain memories, especially as a kid. I was remembering this week going off Christmas caroling with a group of singing company kids and timbrel kids, and we'd go to nursing homes or to older people's homes in the core and sit around and sing these beautiful songs. I don't even like to sing. I'm not even good at singing, but I loved doing that. And that's the memory that comes back when I think about Christmas carols. There's something heartwarming about them, isn't there? We were saying at ensemble rehearsal just this Wednesday night that it's difficult to be in a bad mood when you're singing Christmas carols. Everyone was just happy and lifted up. And sometimes Christmas carols even make us do things that are a little bit crazy. We had our first mini caroling gig a couple of weeks ago at Maya. This is some of the bandsmen. We were at the VIP shopping night. It was very posh, very fancy, a lot of fun. And the band is standing in the middle of Maya in Parramatta, Westfield. Okay, there's different levels. The sound carries all the way up. And Kylie and I were standing at opposite ends just doing some collecting. And this lady, I see her walk over, confidently approaches Bandmaster David and says something to him that I did not know. It was a song request, and I thought, okay, that's pretty normal. Next minute, the band starts playing. We can't remember what carol it was, something like, O Come All Ye Faithful, something you got to boom out. And this woman, I kid you not, for everyone to see, is standing there with her shopping, booming out the words as the band accompanies her. I want to have that level of confidence that I walk up to some random band in the middle of a mall and sing out a song. She was pretty good, actually, but it did make me giggle behind my mask. Now, a little bit of history with Christmas carols. Up until around the late 19th century, the singing of Christmas carols was usually performed more by people visiting people's houses. Generally, these carols, though, they were considered to be secular in content. So they'd kind of been scrapped a little bit from Christian worship. But then in the Victorian era, there was a bit more pressure and musicians were sort of encouraged to include them in Christian worship. And this week I was reading about a festival, you may have heard of it. It's run for many, many years, the Festival of Nine Lessons and Carols. And it was introduced, some people think, to King's College in Cambridge, which is where it occurs. That's not actually where it originated. But on Christmas Eve in 1918, this service was put on at King's College, and it was offered to these people who at the time were distressed, they were exhausted, they were having a tough time. Many of them were injured or bereaved after the First World War. And what this service did is it brought people together, gave them hope. And you know, I think this year and last year, many of the people across our world, many people in this congregation have experienced similar things in loneliness and despair and struggle. People have been isolated and going through a tough time. And the ninth reading in this service that happens at Cambridge, it concludes with this great declaration. You might recognize it. It says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." full of grace and truth. So the whole service, it's designed to lead people towards this final moment when we're reminded of the one who created us, the one who doesn't remove himself from our pain and from our suffering, but is there with us. So carols for many, many years have brought this sense of togetherness and a sense of hope. In and of themselves, carols are not a source of hope, but they draw our attention to the promised Saviour, and they give us a reminder that hope is coming. Hope is coming. And so today we focus on these words, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. So we've heard already today from the prophet Isaiah. It was actually just Ian, if you didn't catch that, but he did a pretty good job, right? And he is our character today. So Isaiah is this Old Testament prophet. I'm sure many of you have heard of him. And he expressed hope for God to deliver his people in a time of suffering and a time of exile. Isaiah's prophecies extended from 739 BC to 681 BC. And it was to the people of God primarily who were living in Jerusalem. His prophecy spanned over the reign of several kings, and the northern and southern kingdoms, they fought bitterly. The people sinned. They were vulnerable to enemy attacks. And so God promises this Saviour through Isaiah. In Isaiah 7:14, we read, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel." See, in this small part of history, the people find themselves living in these dark times of judgment. They've broken their covenant with God. They've been living in ways that weren't so great, that led them into sin. There's judgment that comes upon them. And for long periods of time, they're walking around in exile. So in Isaiah chapter 9, which is our focus for today, Isaiah is speaking to the people of Israel just before the Babylonian exile. And if you want to turn to chapter 9 of Isaiah today, I'm going to read from verse 2. It says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. To those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." See, people who walk around in darkness, in exile, they long for a hope to hold on to, something that is promised. They desire for someone to save them, to be relieved of this exile. And you know, I wonder if some of the headlines in the news today remind us a little bit of walking around in that darkness. Perhaps they echo the sort of exile, the separation of what life should be like. We read of terrorist attacks, of abuse in all types of forms, corruption in government, all these dark issues that get us down, don't they? They surround our lives every day. And sometimes stories are not just the ones that we read in the news. They're our own stories, stories of darkness in our life. Maybe people are dealing with disease, with relationship breakdowns, maybe financial struggles, loneliness, anxiety, depression, and even death. See, whether we're living 700 years before the birth of this promised Saviour or almost 21 centuries after his first advent, we experience the effects of exile. I wonder how many times in the last 2 years have you felt as if you're walking around in darkness? How many times have you felt without hope? How many times have you needed a reminder that hope is coming? The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. See, those people were walking around in such deep darkness, and yet this small light, it provides hope. Even in this big room, you can see the light. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can't overcome it. See, the theme of the hope of the anticipation of something coming is throughout the book of Isaiah. And it reaches into the heart of everyone who feels like they're in exile, in despair. Take a look at verse 6 in Isaiah chapter 9. This is the next promise, the next bit of hope for us. It says, "For us, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." See, we are not a people that is doomed to walk around in darkness. We have this promise of a Saviour who is all of these things, who is with us. In fact, in John 8:12, when Jesus spoke to his people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." See, Advent is supposed to remind us, it's supposed to reassure us that hope is coming. That the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace is coming. In fact, for us, he is here. In the weeks before Christmas, I'm sure many of you set up a wreath. Perhaps some of you light candles. Maybe a few of us have an Advent calendar that we take a chocolate from each day. All of these things that remind us, hopefully, of the anticipation of Christmas, of the anticipation of the coming Saviour, of the birth of Jesus. Advent, which is the Latin word for arrival, reminds us that Jesus came, that God came and stepped down in human flesh. He is here, Emmanuel. But you know, I don't know about you over the last couple of years, but I sort of look around the world and I think, where is God? Has he taken a holiday? A brief pause? Is he really in control of what's going on in my world, in the wider world? See the name that was prophesied by Isaiah all those years before Jesus' birth, a sign that would be given, a son called Emmanuel. It means God with us. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. That is the hope that's coming. That's the hope that's already here. Because I want to tell you, if you've had a tough time over the past couple of years, that God is present in every form of suffering, in depravity, in our painful relationships, in our conflict, in our chronic illness, in our struggle, in our children who might turn from God. And you know, the Bible reminds us of his faithful words later on in Isaiah 43. It says, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by my name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour." God is with those who are suffering, who are at war, who are displaced. Every other horrible thing that happens in the world, God is with us. He's with you in your struggle, in your despair, in your loneliness. And so today we sing those words, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. Emmanuel, God with us. This is the song that is on our lips as we anticipate Advent. I want you to picture something today. I want you to picture you're in an old church, a monastery somewhere, surrounded by all these monks, and they're chanting the names of our God. Sort of how this song came to be. They added an O in front of it. O come, Emmanuel. A chant, O come, Emmanuel. It's been part of our tradition since the early church. And this repetition, these words, a reminder to us over and over again as sometimes we walk around in darkness, O come, Emmanuel. You know, I was thinking and I wondered this week that when we sing the words, O come, Emmanuel, I don't think we're asking God to come and to be here with us because we believe that he already is, right? He doesn't need an invitation to work in our lives or to be present. Now, I think this chant today in the present time is about opening our eyes. It's about me tuning in to what God is doing. It's about me taking notice. It's about seeing him in the seemingly insignificant. It's about inviting him in when I feel lost, when I feel as though I'm in exile. We sang the bridge of these beautiful words earlier this morning. It says, for all who wait, for all who hunger, for all who've prayed, for all who wonder. I wonder if that's some of you today. When you say, how long, Lord, do I have to pray? Do I have to wait? Do I have to wonder if you're going to show up? But yet we say, behold your King. Behold Messiah, Emmanuel. May this be the song, these words that carry you through the season as we anticipate the birth of our Saviour. May it remind you as you call Emmanuel that he is with us, that hope, even in the darkest of places, is coming. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that mourns the lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. Because then we hear the words, rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. If that's you this morning, if you're struggling to see God in a time of maybe exile, of darkness, of loneliness, the invitation is come, the mercy seat is open, and we'd love to pray with you as we sing these beautiful words. Perhaps after a season of loneliness, of loss, of despair, maybe you just need a reminder of that invitation. You need to come and invite Emmanuel to be with you, to open your awareness to him. And if you've never experienced the love of our Saviour, the promised Son, Jesus, and his transforming power in your life, then the invitation is given for you today to come and to invite him, to invite that relationship between you and our Saviour. So today, if you want to come and pray as we sing these beautiful words, O come, Emmanuel, I'd invite you to do that. Invite everyone to reflect and to sing these words, to plant them in your heart for this Advent season. Let's sing together.